بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. قال تعالى: سنريهم آياتنا في الآفاق وفي أنفسهم حتى يتبين لهم أنه الحق، أولم يكف بربك أنه على كل شيء شهيد. وقال تعالى: أم خلقوا من غير شيء أم هم الخالقون، أم خلقوا السماوات والأرض بل لا يوقنون.
How do you know Allah exists? Whenever I ask this question, I hear responses such as, I know Allah exists because He has blessed me with a beautiful family, beautiful spouse, beautiful children, beautiful grandchildren. Life is good. God is good. Other people say, I know Allah exists because of the everyday moments of life. I feel God. That small voice within me tells me He exists. I just know He's there. Now, personal experience is meaningful to a Muslim, but personal experience is of limited value with kids who are being challenged in their faith. A skeptic could easily counter any of these responses. For example, if you say, I know Allah exists because He has blessed me with a beautiful family, beautiful spouse, beautiful children, beautiful grandchildren. Life is good. God is good. A skeptic can easily counter by saying, science shows that your spouse and your children are a product of blind evolutionary forces. When you say, in the everyday moments of life, I feel God. I feel so grateful for my blessed life. A skeptic can easily counter and state, the everyday moments of life are filled with horrible events for some people. That's evidence against a God, not for one. And that voice within you, that's just you talking to yourself. Based on scientific evidence, He is not there. How would you respond if your kids made statements like this? Would you be able to offer evidence for Allah's existence outside of your own personal experience? One parent wrote, when my son turned 19, he told me that all religions are lame and man-made. My 19-year-old baby turned into a full atheist who has a scientific or philosophical answer to everything. As a parent, I knew Islam was true. I felt it. I believed it. But that's it. I had nothing to offer my son. No knowledge of the answers he needed. And in the end, the atheist professor won the battle because I didn't have the answers for my son. The professor did. My respected listeners, if we don't have objective answers our kids need, atheists will be more than happy to fill in the gaps. Inshallah, in today's lecture, I will provide compelling objective evidence for Allah's existence from the Quran, from the Kalam cosmological argument, the design argument, the design in physics, the fine-tuning of the earth and universe. I will also provide several resources at the end of my khutbah so that you can raise your kids with a faith that's specifically prepared for the challenges and questions they will face. In Surah Fussilat, Ayah 53, Allah discusses two signs that you should ponder. If you ponder over these two signs, they will provide compelling, objective evidence for Allah's existence. Allah says,
سنريهم آياتنا في الآفاق وفي أنفسهم.
We will show them our signs through the universe and through themselves. One question we should ask ourselves and our children: are human beings the accidental products of a blind and uncaring universe, or are they the beneficiaries of a cosmic order that was planned beforehand to help them flourish? A documentary that will help you answer this question is titled Privileged Species. Privileged Species. This is a 33-minute documentary that explores evidence from physics, chemistry, biology, and related fields that our universe, that same universe which Allah states is a sign for His existence, that same universe was designed for large multicellular beings like ourselves. A geneticist investigated the special properties of carbon, water, and oxygen that made human life and the life of other organisms possible, and it explores some of the unique features of human beings that make us a truly privileged species. Therefore, if you want to get your kids on Allah's side, watch this documentary titled Privileged Species. And since there are not many copies available in the library, I have emailed the IFN community the link to this documentary. It's equally important how you watch this documentary. Some people start watching documentaries and they go straight into TV mode. They focus on useless information such as the expert's accent or the cuteness of the animals that are being showcased in the documentary. Before viewing this documentary, there's two items you need to do. Number one, activate prior knowledge. The KWL is an effective teaching strategy many educators use. Essentially, it's a graphical organizer. The letters KWL are an acronym. K, what you know. W, what do you want to know? And L, what have you ultimately learned? So you take a notebook paper or a whiteboard, divide it into three columns, what you know, K, the next column, W, what you want to know, and the next column, L, what you have learned. Before you watch this documentary, fill in the K section. This helps you start thinking about what you already know about the subject, which helps you make connections between the video and the content already explored. Number one, activate prior knowledge. Number two, give a purpose for watching. Just as you need a purpose before you read a book, you need a purpose before watching a documentary. So in the W section of the KWL, you're going to write down this question. Are human beings the accidental products of a blind and uncaring universe? Or are they the beneficiaries of a cosmic order that was planned beforehand to help them flourish? While you're watching the documentary, you're going to be doing one thing. Pause often. Take breaks and pause the documentary so you and your family can process the information. Much of the information may be new, overwhelming, and it may take some time to comprehend the information. After watching the documentary, fill in the L section of the KWL. What have you learned? This is how you should watch the documentary Privileged Species. In addition to the documentary, you can read a book titled The Privileged Planet, how our place in the cosmos is designed for discovery. Are human beings the accidental products of a blind and uncaring universe? Or are they the beneficiaries of a cosmic order that was planned beforehand to help them flourish? One approach to answering this question is the cosmological argument. The cosmological argument states, whatever begins to exist has a cause. The universe began to exist, therefore the universe has a cause. Is the first premise true? Believing that something can pop into existence without a cause doesn't make sense logically. And if something can come into being from nothing, then why don't we see this happening all the time? The first premise is true. Whatever begins to exist has a cause. But what about our second premise? Did the universe begin, or has it always existed? For many years, atheists and scientists believed the universe always existed. The universe was eternal. Everything changed in the 1920s when astronomer Edwin Hubble discovered that the universe is slowly expanding. He observed that other galaxies are moving away from us, like a spot on an inflating balloon. If the universe is expanding, it implies a beginning. How do you know that? If you rewind the process of a thing expanding, think of a deflating balloon, you eventually get back to a single point, the moment that thing began. Hubble's findings had huge significance. This provided scientific evidence that the universe had a beginning after all. Let's also consider the second law of thermodynamics. It tells us the universe is slowly running out of usable energy. And that's the point. If the universe had been here forever, it would have run out of usable energy by now. The second law points us to a universe that had a definite beginning. This means the second premise is also true. The universe began to exist. Let's recap what we have so far. Number one, widely accepted scientific evidence that the universe had a beginning. Number two, knowledge that anything that had a beginning is caused by something else. Since both of these premises are true, therefore the universe has a cause. The million-dollar question is, what could that have been? Could the universe cause itself? On page 85 in the book The Divine Reality, Brother Hamza asks, was it possible for your mother to give birth to herself? Was it possible for your mother to give birth to herself? To claim such a thing would suggest that she would have to be born before she was born. When something is created, it means it once did not exist, and therefore had no power to do anything. To claim it created itself is impossible, as it could not have any power before it was created in order to create itself. As Allah asks, أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ. Were they created from nothing, or did they create their own selves? The third option is that you can believe that that cause, whatever was the cause, that cause must be beyond the space-time universe. Whatever the cause was, it must have been spaceless. Whatever the cause was, it must have been timeless. Whatever the cause was, it must have been immaterial. Whatever the cause was, it must have been unimaginably powerful. Whatever the cause was, it must have been uncaused. That's consistent with what many people call a law. The cosmological argument shows that in fact it is quite reasonable to believe that Allah exists. The design argument. The design argument states that a designer must exist because the universe and living things show evidence of design by an intelligent agent. If you were to find a watch in an empty field, you would instinctively conclude that it was designed and not just a result of accidental formation in nature. Similarly, when we look at the universe, when we look at life, it's natural to conclude that there is a designer because they appear to be so intentionally formed. The design in physics. Imagine you just stumbled upon a cabin in the woods. You discover your favorite surah is being recited in the cabin by your favorite qari. You discover when you step inside the cabin that your best friends and the people you care about the most are in that cabin. Your favorite foods and your favorite drinks are on the table. Would you think that a cabin like this existed by chance? Or would you assume someone prepared it for you? It would be hard to imagine that a place so perfectly tailored to your personal needs would have formed that way by chance. In many ways, our earth is like this cabin. It appears to have been uniquely designed to support human life. It's as if the earth knew we were coming. A planet, its planetary companions, its moon, its star, and its galaxies have dozens of parameters requiring precise values in order for physical life to exist. On page 28 in the book titled Origins, it is written, "The planet we call Earth formed in an orbit where its atmosphere can sustain oceans largely in liquid form. Had Earth formed much closer to the sun, the oceans would have vaporized. Had Earth formed much farther, the oceans would have frozen. In either case, life as we know it would not have evolved." The second sign of Allah's existence is in ourselves. Take the brain for example. What is so special about the human brain? Why is it that we study other animals instead of them studying us? What does the human brain have that no other brain has? There are animals whose brains are larger than ours. Dolphins, elephants. But the parts of their brain where conscious thinking occurs are very small. Scientists think that intelligence is more about the complexity of your brain than its size, and the human brain is more complex than any other animal's. We are the only beings that can communicate at a higher level. Our ability of complex reasoning, our use of language, is what separates us from animals. As Allah states, Ar-Rahman, 'allama al-Qur'an, khalaqa al-insan, 'allamahu al-bayan. He also states, wa 'allama Adama al-asma'a kullaha. Now, there are some animals who can mimic the sounds of human speech, but do they understand? Do they have complex reasoning? According to a book titled The Human Brain Book by Rita Carter, human beings have the ability of complex reasoning because of the size and density of the cortex, and particularly of the frontal lobe, which is responsible for complex thought, conscious judgment, and self-reflection. As Allah states, we will show them our signs through the universe and through themselves, حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ, until it becomes clear to them that this is the truth. In conclusion, Here are 10 things that you need to do to get your kids on Allah's side. Number 1. Get your kids to love you. Ta'lim, education, is extremely important. But ta'lim alone is not enough. Our kids also need tarbiyah. They need our love. They need our undivided attention. Number 1, our kids need both education and undivided attention. As I was preparing this khutbah, and as I was jotting down this very point of getting our kids to love you, on Thursday night, Muhammad came up to me and said, "Abu, I want to do something fun." I said, "Sorry, kiddo, I can't. I'm preparing for my khutbah." Then I said, "Wait a minute, come back here. Son, would you like to be my beta tester and listen to my entire khutbah and then give me feedback?" My 4-year-old son, Muhammad, said, "No, Abu, that's boring. I want to do something fun. Let's wrestle." I said, "This is a sign from above that I need to give my son undivided attention and a whooping." So number 1, give your kids undivided attention and get your kids to love you. Number 2, be able to understand and explain the cosmological argument. Number 3, be able to understand and explain the design argument. Number 4, watch the documentary titled Privileged Species. Privileged Species. But when you're watching this documentary, follow the strategies I mentioned on how to watch a documentary. Number 5, read Surah Fussilat Ayah 53 with the tafsir and re-listen to the recording of this khutbah. Number 6. Every year I teach Aqeedah to the high school students at IFM, and I answer questions in detail such as, why would an all-powerful, all-loving God allow evil and suffering? Why does God tell us to worship Him? Does He need us to worship Him? Is Islam the opposite of reason? Does there have to be a clash between science and Islam? Science and Islam don't have to clash. Open-minded scientists and agnostics will even state that science might be a threat to intolerant extremists, but God and science are anything but incompatible. Science and Islam are compatible. And I'm a big fan of science and logic. Believing in Allah is logical. That's why in the books of Aqeedah it is written, Allahu wajib al-wujud. Logic rejects the notion that Allah doesn't exist, because that would mean we don't exist, which we do. In the interest of being unbiased, let me share with you what an agnostic and an astrophysicist said in a recent interview. He said, up to 60% of Western scientists pray to God. If science and God clashed, the number of scientists that pray to God would have been 0%. God and science are compatible. If you have children who are in high school, I highly recommend you encourage them to take the Aqeedah class with myself. This year it will be starting in late January. Number 7, I am working on bringing an external guest speaker for a weekend Aqeedah Tahawiyah seminar at IFN for the entire community. Number 8, read an Aqeedah book with them. You can read Aqeedah Tahawiyah, translated by Hamza Yusuf, Mawlana Fahim has an excellent commentary of Aqidat al-Tahawiyyah. Imam Ghazali has written a book titled Kitab Qawa'id al-Aqa'id, in the Principles of the Creed. And Imam Suhaib Webb has a book titled Essentials of Islamic Faith. Number 9. Purchased a book titled Divine Reality. This book provides a compelling case for the rational foundations of Islam while compassionately deconstructing atheism. And number 10, there are two research papers published by the Yaqeen Institute. The first one is titled Why Muslims Doubt, or Modern Pathways to Doubt. And the second research paper is titled Can Islam Object to Evolution? Evaluating Human-Chimp Genetic Similarity. And I've emailed all of these resources to the IFN community, and I have posted it on the Imam blog on the website. Feel free to check them out there on the website.